especially on Father's Day, to be reminded that God is our eternal Father.
Amen.
Earlier last year, I was about to go to London, and I was in Bristol, and I took this coach, and on the coach, I met this man, and he offered me some Haribos, and I was like, this is kind of strange. I was taught not to take any candies from a strange man, but who knows, but I was like, you know what? I'll take it, and I'll strike a conversation, you know, maybe I'll chat to him, share with him about Jesus, and maybe, you know, he'll come to church. And as we started chatting, you know, I asked him, oh, what are you doing here? He told me, oh, I was born in London, my mom lives in Bristol now, she's kind of ill, so I visited her, I've been living in LA for a while, because he noticed my American accent.
No.
I know, right? I thought I was getting away with my British, but it wasn't. So I asked him, oh, you know, you're in LA, what do you do? He said, I'm an author.
Wow.
I was like, I've never met a full-time author before. I always thought authors do it on the side until they hit it big. But he's a full-time author. So I asked him, oh, what are you writing about? He told me, I started writing this book. It's going to be called The Kim Kardashian Principle.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, no, exactly my reaction. That's weird. What is that about? He told me, oh, it's going to be about how she has no specific defined talent, yet she makes millions. She does nothing. She's a professional celebrity, but she makes millions because of how she brands herself and how she promotes herself. So I was like, oh, that's really cool.
She does.
And it died.
You hit the wrong button.
I did. Oh, it's upside down.
There you go.
This is that book. Apparently, it is now a New York Times bestseller. I know. I was like, what? But this tells me something. This tells me that we all desire to be known. The only reason this book sells is because people want to be known. I want to be out there. I want to be famous. I may not have anything to give, but I want to be known. That's why people are buying this book. We all crave acknowledgement. We all long to be recognized, to be appreciated, to be respected, to be somebody, to do notable things. That's what we all want deep inside. And there's definitely nothing wrong with that. I do think that's how we are created, to know and to be known. We're created to be known. We're created to have people admire us, to have someone there to know us deeply. You know, that's why all those self-assessment tests and all those personality tests are so popular nowadays. Because even us, we're trying to figure out our own selves. But we're complicated people. It's hard to figure out ourselves. That's why we need outside resources to help us figure out who we are. You know, and sometimes we feel like, oh, finally figure out who I am. And then you'll run into this wall, this existential crisis. Who am I again? You know, I feel like Jean Valjean. Who am I? And then, why am I here? Always ask those questions. Why do I exist? We continually try to figure out who we are. You know, we have this chronic identity crisis. Trying to figure out what we're here for, who we are. One moment we feel so confident of who we are, regardless of our age, Reinhardt. We're still trying to figure out who we are. The next moment, you know, we think we're so confident. The next moment, we're confused again. And there's only one solution to stop this cycle. There's only one solution to stop this vicious circle we're in. That is to know who we are in God. Amen. So the title of my sermon today is Identity Crisis or Identity...
There you go.
Christ is. Point number one, we are created to be known. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it reads, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We all desire to be known. That's how God created us. You know, that's how God designed us. When we are known, we feel at peace. When we are known, we feel confident. When we are known, we feel valuable. You know, that's why sometimes even at work, when people ask us, can you do more? Can you do more overtime? I know it's going to take away, this is going to take you away from your family, but we say yes because we feel valued. You know, because we are known. Oh, they know that I can do this. We feel very valuable when we are known. When God created the universe after the fifth day of just creating, he said, you know what? It's time to start creating my masterpiece. And he created mankind. We are his masterpiece. We are the pinnacle of all creation. He poured every ounce of his creativity in us. He said that he created mankind in his image. Nothing in the universe was created in God's image except us. That's how precious we are. That's how valuable we are. Sure. That God was so willing pretty much to clone himself in us. You know what? I'm loving. I'm going to make you guys loving. I am holy. I'm going to make you holy. I can live for it, for the rest of eternity. They can live for the rest of eternity. But the moment we sin, we destroyed that masterpiece. We destroyed that perfection that God has created. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were so ashamed that they destroyed God's masterpiece that they hid themselves. And the moment we sinned, it created a void in our hearts, that longing to be filled. You know, we were fully known by God, but when we messed up that masterpiece, God cannot recognize who we are. You know, Isaiah 59 says that our sins separate us from God. That's what happens. And now, from that point on, there's this thirst that is longing to be quenched. Because God does not fully know us. And that's what we all want. So we supplement that with different things. But God is not done with us. Amen. Acts 17 says that he appointed the times and place where we should live so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him. Now, Ezekiel 34, verse 11, it reads, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. God still wants to know us fully. You know, we may have ruined that masterpiece to the point that God has a hard time recognizing who we are, but he's not done. He's looking for us. He's intently searching for each one of us. And our hearts long for that as well. You may not know it right now, but your heart aches for that. Your heart longs for that. Your heart longs to be known. I think the problem lies when we try to solve, when we try to quench that thirst on our own. When we find different ways on how to fulfill that void. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug out their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." That's what we do. This is the state of their hearts back then. This is the state of our hearts now. We try to invent ways to be fulfilled, but any ways we do it on our own will fail. You know, this is still the condition of our hearts. Let me ask you today, what are the cisterns you have dug for yourselves? You know, the big three: power, fame, and fortune. We use those things to be fulfilled. I think here's a simple test, right? Ask yourself this. What do I want people to know about me? What do I want to be known by? And ask myself this as well. You could ask yourself, this is kind of heavy, but I really ask myself, what do I want people to be jealous of me? Because that really reveals my heart. Because deep inside, there are things that I want people to be jealous of if I really think hard about it. You know, is it a successful career? Is it how much money I make? Is it a beautiful house or my material possessions? Is it a beautiful spouse, beautiful family, perfect relationship, how fit I am, or how, you know, my athletic accolades, or how exciting my social life is? Inherently, there's nothing wrong with these things. You know, these are great things. But if these things have become your source of fulfillment, that's when it goes wrong. Because we go after short-term fulfillment. You know what? I feel good when I get this promotion. I feel good when I go on a vacation. I feel good if my relationships are going well. And I think you ought to, but if that's really the main source of our security, it will fail. Those things are broken cisterns. Those are leaking wells. They're not going to hold any water. So therefore, you draw water from there, you're going to remain thirsty. We need to find a real solution. But when we are known by God, we know our real value. We know our true riches. You know, we have real hope when we are known by God. Our lives get a sense of direction. It gets, you know, our lives get its purpose. Our lives become meaningful again when we are known by God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 11, it reads, In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Jump into verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This passage reveals what true fame is, what true power is, what true riches is. In God, we know what they truly are. You know, we long for those things, but we usually get them for a short term. But in Christ, we have them eternally. We have real hope. He says that we're going to inherit the kingdom of God. How awesome is that? We are actually royal. We're the real royal family. When someone gets married here, as the Mays are about to celebrate sometime soon, it's a royal wedding. It literally is, because they are the son and daughters of God. This is the real royal family, because we're inheriting God's kingdom. That is amazing. You know, in Christ, we know the real power. That is the Holy Spirit. You know, we find true selves when God finds us, when we are known by God. But how does God get to know us? That's the question, right? How do I get to be known by God? In 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 3, it says, "But whoever loves God is known by God." But whoever loves God is known by God. If you want to be known by God, you have to love God. If you want to be known by God, you have to love God. You have to love him. Spend time with him in your prayers and in your Bible studies. You got to follow him. I love what Heinrich shared, you know, the victory of surrender. Because if you truly love God, you'll surrender to him. And it's not easy. No one says it's easy, but you get a reward. You find true fame, riches, and power in God. You find yourself. That's how you're created to be known by God. Amen?
Amen.
Second point, find yourself. Find your reward. There's a reward finding ourselves. Now, there has been a point in each one of our lives when we try to find ourselves. Sometimes we try to reinvent ourselves, you know, through different processes. Sometimes we change our attitude. Sometimes, you know, we pick up new hobbies. We change our, you know, approach in life. Sometimes, you know, we try to work out more, change our physique. Like New Year's resolution. New year, new me. Sometimes we change our fashion sense. And we try to change these things, for better or for worse, because we try to find who we are. And, you know, I've had some, you know, some for worse moments when I try to reinvent myself. My hair grows really fast. So sometimes I try to reinvent myself by changing my hair. So I've gone through different hair phases. I don't know if you can see that. That's my mugshot of a...
Nice one.
Yeah. I tried mohawk. That is terrible. And that is when I had, my lion mane. But I'll go back to that because you guys will be distracted. So, but, we try to find our own selves. Because we feel like if we finally find ourselves, we can have peace. We can have confidence. We can have assurance of who we are. But finding ourselves is only possible through God. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 1, it reads, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. When we are in Christ, we find our true selves. We are children of God. John here is saying, that's who you are. That's how God created you to be. To be anything less than that is such a crime. Mm. To be anything less than children of God, it's unfathomable. That's who you are. The only way we can find ourselves is through Jesus. Because the only way we can understand how much love God has poured in us, how much love God has lavished on us, is through Jesus. Yeah. And that's what he's saying. It says here that we are children of God. That it means that we ought to live like children of God. Mm. Pure and holy. That's what we're created to be. The reason we have all these problems is because we're not living like children of God. I've never done a study on this, nor have I looked at any study on this, but I just think of it like the way the divorce rate is increasing, slowly increasing throughout the world. And so is, the rate of depression and suicide. It's increasing, but at the same time, God's popularity is decreasing. And I don't know if, they're directly interlinked, but if I would have to guess, they are. Because people are forgetting who they are. And they're trying to find their own solution, but they just can't. But we know who we are. We are children of God. The thing is, it's not that easy to be a child of God. It says here that the world will not know you. You will be a stranger to those who are not known by God. That's why I respect so much the teens who decided, you know what? We're going to follow Jesus. Amen. Because there's so much pressure being put on them to be a certain way, to be a certain somebody, and yet they're willing enough to say, you know what? That's okay. I'm a child of God.
Come on.
So I admire them so much.
Amen.
You know, but despite this one thing that he asked for us, there are so many positives that we get back. You know, Romans 8:17, you can just jot this down and listen. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That's what we're going to receive as children of God. Philippians 3 verse 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. We're going to receive a new body. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, I'm not satisfied with my body right now. Ben May and I made a wager because I think we're both unsatisfied with our physical appearance. We made a wager to lose a certain amount of weight by a certain time, and if we don't make it, we have to run half a marathon. And I dislike so much running. But if I'm going to inherit Jesus' body, there's no point keeping this. I'm going to let go. Sorry, Rachel. Let go, my son. I'm going to hear it in your body. But that's what we're going to have. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. How amazing is that? Abundant joy and eternal pleasure awaits us in heaven. Wow. Revelation 21, it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There will be no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no tears. He will wipe the very last tear from your eye. That's what awaits for the children of God. In Revelation 21 again, in verse 10, it says, He carried me away in the spirit to the mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as a crystal. We will have a new city, a beautiful, unimaginable place where we could live for the rest of eternity with God. That's what awaits us. So even though the world may not know us, God knows us. Even though the world sees us as strangers, God sees us as children.
Come on, Mark.
So it's worth it. It's worthy to live like that. It's worthy to live pure and holy because of what awaits us. The thing is, we have to know who we are before God. Now, As your week goes on, let's remember who we are. Let's remember that it is worthy to be known by God, that we gotta love Him, that we are His children, and we ought to live lives as children of God. Thank you very much.
Amen.